At the six-month mark of the Trump administration, we've been taking a look, department by department, at the achievements of his cabinet members. Today, education. Secretary Betsy DeVos, a billionaire proponent of school choice, has faced a number of headwinds, but she got some wind at her back yesterday, announcing that President Trump would donate his salary this quarter to the education department to be used for a STEM-focused camp for students. That's $100,000, and that's great. But the department might see millions in cuts. Anya Kamenetz is NPR's lead education blogger. Anya, start with school choice. DeVos and her family have a long record of supporting vouchers, unregulated charter schools, and she wants government dollars to go towards them.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's really at the core of this. And it's an interesting coalition, you might say, between evangelical Christians, of which the DeVos family is one, as well as free market conservatives who believe that, you know, the government should get out of schools. And they both kind of agree on that. From the Christian point of view, it's to, you know, be able to teach our children what we think they should be learning, not what the government thinks they should be learning. And from the free market point of view, it's saying, you know, the government has no business providing something that, you know, that people should just, I guess, get on their own.
Last week, Secretary DeVos spoke to the American Legislative Exchange Council in Denver. That's ALEC. They back her on vouchers, education savings accounts, the expansion of charters, the virtual and for-profit schools. There were protests outside the event, but here's a bit of what she had to say inside.
Providing more educational options isn't against public schools. School choice is about recognizing parents' inherent right to choose what is best for their children.
So she says it's not about taking down public schools, but what about Congress? Is she getting support there? The Budget Committee in the House is working on a plan to cut $20 billion to education over the next 10 years. So how's she faring in Congress?
Well, you know, it's complicated because obviously the federal role in public schools from K-12 is fairly limited and always has been. And I think DeVos is sort of a big supporter of that idea. The House asked for cuts to the education budget, but actually Trump's budget request asked for even more cuts. The role of the federal education bureaucracy in promoting school choice is something that was completely eliminated by the House. So there were some proposals in Trump's budget to take money intended for poor schools and to push that money into school choice programs, essentially. And that was completely axed out by the House. So, you know, Betsy DeVos's ability to promote school choice directly from Washington, D.C. might be limited in this cycle. We're going to see what she can do with the bully pulpit.
You know, a lot of the brick and mortar of public schools is already there. They definitely need improvement and need help across the country. But can this push to school choice work with less federal dollars?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I mean, it gets at the soul of the debate that we have over school choice, because proponents of existing public schools, and that, of course, includes teachers' unions, like to say that what we really want is high-quality schools in your neighborhood. And we already have this network of public schools that 9 out of 10 students attend. Why can't we just make those schools better? And, of course, the equally morally righteous debate on the other side says, look, my child is going to grow up and be out of school in a short period of time. I don't have time to wait for the schools to turn around. How are you going to sit there and talk to a poor family in a city and say, you know, you have to send your kid to the local school no matter how bad it is? So that's the rhetoric that rages. And the idea, should we fix the schools we have? Should we try to make new schools better? I think it's going to go on for the foreseeable future.
All right. Take us to ESSA. This is the Every Student Succeeds Act. It was signed by President Obama in late 2015. It was a reauthorization at that time of a 50-year-old national education law. What was it supposed to do, and how is it faring in the DeVos administration?
Well, in a precursor to the DeVos and the Trump administration, ESSA was really meant to return a lot of power to the states to determine how to make schools more successful and students more successful. And it was seen as a walk back of what some people saw as federal overreach during the No Child Left Behind era, which was, you know, absolutely bipartisan and pursued by both Bush and Obama. It's been a little bit of a whiplash, I would say, since DeVos and Trump came in, because first what they did was they threw out the House throughout all the regulations that had been spelling out how to implement ESSA. And this was kind of seen as a way to, again, kind of cut federal red tape, but also left states in a little bit of a limbo with how do we comply on the other hand, the states have been, you know, coming up with their plans and turning them in. And in the first round, Betsy DeVos's education department returned surprisingly strong, detailed feedback on some of these state plans, which would seem to go counter to this notion of a hands-off federal education department.
Right. Criticism even from, you know, Republican supporters that it wasn't working the way it was supposed to. Well, we mentioned protests. She's had so many of them. I mentioned this past weekend in Colorado. She was at ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, a conservative organization. Here's a bit of the sound outside. Hey, ALEC, you can't hide. We can see your greedy side. This is, you know, because it's because the thinking is that these are people who want to privatize public schools and make money off it. Then in May, graduates of Bethune-Cookman University in Florida turned their backs to protester giving the commencement speech after she said, you know, all black schools were the original school choice, when in fact we know they were the only thing available in racist, segregated America to most African Americans. And you've told us that you think that perhaps she wasn't really as prepared for the protest she was going to get. She was one of the most protested nominees, even in the nomination process. But talk now about some of the college issues, the new rules on student loans and the thought behind them. Can you just briefly sum that up, and how's that being received?
So in higher ed, you know, the steps that she's taken have been to walk back some pretty key regulations that were instituted by the Obama administration in response to some pretty egregious violations. You know, large for-profit colleges were shut down in the last several years. Many people left on the hook for loans from fraudulent colleges. And the act to stop regulations that are in process on the higher ed side has a lot of advocates wondering, you know, how friendly is this administration going to be to the private lending industry, to for-profit colleges versus the students that they're really sworn to protect and help.
What about campus sexual assault? DeVos excoriated for meeting with accused rapists as well as rape victims. She and some of her staffers making the point that there were false accusations. Candace Jackson, the acting assistant secretary for civil rights at the Department of Education, got in a lot of hot water when she said that 90% of campus sexual assaults fell into the category of "we were both drunk." Not that somebody was raped or someone was a rapist. She later, you know, walked that back a bit. She is, in fact, a victim herself. But the department left the impression that they're reversing recent policies of cracking down on college sexual abuse.
In word and in deed, we're seeing a softening from the Office of Civil Rights, which many people don't understand is housed within the Department of Education, but is responsible for a lot of really important civil rights enforcement in colleges, in public schools, for transgender students, for LGBT, for women, and of course for victims of sexual violence. And so these statements, the public meetings with men's rights advocates, and as well as, again, the cutting of the budget and the slashing of so-called red tape and investigations. I think time will tell. I'm certainly advocates, civil rights groups, women's groups are watching to see, without the federal role in enforcement and leadership that they've come to expect during the previous administration, what actually happens then on campus and what happens to civil rights.
Yeah. Well, another concern about the Department of Education right now is they're very behind on hiring. And this isn't because nominations have been held up in Congress. This is just jobs have not been filled. How much is that going to hurt?
You know, again, the notion of a less active and a less activist Department of Education, I think, is a consistent message that we're getting from the president, from the Secretary of Education. She has the only Senate-confirmed position at the Ed Department that's been filled as of the Washington Post tally at the end of June. And as long as, you know, staffing positions remain open, the ability of the Ed Department to do its work is curtailed. And that is combined with public statements repeatedly from the education secretary that she doesn't believe that the federal government should be taking a strong activist role in schools in the first place.
That's Anya Kamenetz, NPR's lead education blogger, catching us up on Secretary Betsy DeVos and the Department of Education. Anya, thank you.
Thank you.